Broadcasting from Lockport, New York, it's time for The Dads Must Be Crazy. Just three guys raising kids and currently hiding from them in an undisclosed tool shed to talk about parenting, pop culture, and penguins. Or something else that starts with a P. It's Craig, the stay-at-home dad historian and hockey enthusiast. Howie, the stay-at-home dad who used to be a reporter when journalism was a thing. And Bobby, the retired Army vet, Trekkie, and gamer, helping to raise three kids in beautiful Western New York. Now, here's the dads.
Welcome to the Dads Must Be Crazy, episode 8, the birthday episode, because it was Howie's birthday yesterday.
Yes, it was.
Happy birthday, Howie.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
And aside from Howie, we have Bobby here again.
Yay.
And I'm Craig. Thanks for listening. Episode 8 already. 2 months.
That's right. 2 months, and I'm still the youngest one here.
God, where does the time go? It seems like yesterday I was 5.
My daughter will be happy to tell you that she weighs 40 pounds because she's 5.
She weighs 40 pounds. Well, you gain 8 pounds a year?
I guess so. I don't know. But somebody picked her up today and says, oh, Ray Ray, you weigh 1,000,000 pounds. Oh, because I'm 5. I'm like, okay. Every reasoning right now is because she's 5.
She just had a birthday?
Her birthday was in May. Okay. Every member, I have a family of 5, immediate family of 5. My wife is in May. My youngest daughter is in May. My middle child, who's also a daughter, is in May. I'm in July. My son is in August. So, but when you throw Mother's Day in the mix, May is the month that at some point moving forward, you know, I might as well just not even carry any money in my wallet. Just give it to the girls. Mother's Day and 3 birthdays? Yeah, not happening. So,
all I heard in there was there's a specific month to get down on it, and 9 months later is May.
Yes.
That's what I heard. Just saying, I just picked up.
Oh. Yeah, August was a good month in the Balaban household.
Apparently, like most of my family's born in August, which means November time frame, like the beginning of winter, the very end of fall. That's what my family was doing. Just saying.
In my family growing up, my brother's birthday was in March. My mom's birthday was in March. My dad's birthday was in March. My birthday is in July.
So you were the outlier. The rest of the time, they're celebrating their birthday.
Basically, yes. That's pretty much how it goes. Although what I love telling people was my parents, while they were still together, their anniversary was July 4th. And they got married July 4th, 1976. So they got married on the bicentennial. But when I was growing up, I never told people what year they got married. I would just be like, my parents were born on July 4th and I was born 4 days later. I always failed to mention 4 years and 4 days later. But, you know, the month of July was always... There was always something going on. And if I was with my extended family and my cousins and my grandmother, my cousin's birthday was July 10th. My grandmother's birthday is July 11th. So, but when I was home, it was just me.
Right. So did you do anything special for your birthday yesterday or for the weekend? You went away for the weekend.
Yeah.
Part of birthday?
I guess you could say that. Took my kids. We went out to the Adirondacks. It was the first time I'd been out there in like 19 years. Went and saw my dad's new house. There used to be a mobile home trailer type there, mm-hmm. that was sitting on a plot of land that belonged to my uncle. Well, over the last, we'll say 2 decades, the trailer has gone away and is now no more. The property now is in my dad's name, and he had a house custom built for himself.
That's cool.
Beautiful house, very open style floor plan. The basement is gigantic, and eventually I'm sure he's going to finish it. Got out there Friday. It's out near, they take the Amsterdam exit off the thruway, and that's about where he is. Got out there Friday, spent all day Saturday. Basically, every hour and a half, we were sitting down to eat something. My family gets together. It's like, hey, let's all visit. Oh, wait a minute. It's time to eat? Okay, cool. I mean, if you leave one of these weekends hungry, it's your own fault. And then Sunday, we left around 10:30, made it down to Howe Caverns at about 11:30. Did the cavern tour.
Got stuck in traffic.
Got stuck in a lot of freaking traffic on the way home. I had planned on getting home between 6 and 6:30. Got home about 7:30 because between Syracuse and whatever the next exit was, it said, you know, signs on the side of the road, the digital sign said, accident, beware of delays. I never saw the accident, but I experienced plenty of delays.
It's like that in Canada. What is that? On the QEW.
Yeah.
It just slows down for no reason.
The QEW.
Queen Elizabeth Way. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know those things because I'm a transplant up here.
It's one of those things I didn't know either for the longest time.
I haven't even been here 2 years yet. you know, up here in Western New York. So I'm still learning a few things.
Can you say Skajakwita yet?
Skajakwita?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Massapequa.
There was a
Massapequa was on the other end of the state.
Canandaigua.
There you go.
Well, I was just there.
Yeah. I just drove through there.
So. I got to go fishing out to the Finger Lakes. That's on my to-do list.
Head on down to Keuka or Seneca, and you'll be good. There's plenty of wineries, plenty of stuff to do.
There was an article in the Buffalo News this week about the Buffalo accent and how you can't escape it. But they're saying can't. And I've heard that accent around because there's a ECMC commercial. Said, I went to ECMC to get a new heart valve. I feel so much better. I'm like, what is a valve?
I'm trying to figure out where all these people are who talk like this.
Cheektowaga.
I haven't met them.
Gotta be.
It's a Cheektowaga accent. They call it a Buffalo accent, but that's a lie. It is the Cheektowaga accent.
You know, and it's really funny about how, like, some of the suburbs, like Cheektowaga has a different accent than those in Tonawanda and those in Lackawanna. There's a lot of Wanas and Ondas and stuff up here.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, Depew sounds a little different. Inner city Buffalo's a little different. Lockport's a little different. It's weird.
It is.
But it's kind of
It's actually kind of cool. I was about to say that. It's refreshing to see all these different people who all root for the same group of things talking so differently when they live just a couple miles apart.
Right.
I think it's fantastic. It cracks me up. I still get it all the time. You ain't from around here, are you? Well, they don't say it that way, but they, you know, are you from around here originally? No.
No.
Like, I'm glad you picked up on that.
Where's that accent from?
Yeah. Texas. You know, I mean.
It hurts my ears to say accent like that.
I can't say it like that. Although I did at one point, years ago, I was living in Virginia Beach growing up, and my dad was born and raised in Brooklyn.
You still have that little bit of an accent.
I've got a little bit of a two ute type thing going on. My mom was born in Trenton and raised
two utes.
My mom was born in Trenton, New Jersey, but raised in Long Island. So the combination of Brooklyn and Long Island, I've got, that's where my accent comes from. And I didn't move away from
Trenton. Is anywhere near the Delaware River?
You take the airport to get there.
Yes.
You take the plane to get there. I didn't move away from the New York metro area till I was five. So my formative speaking was
That's
speechifying.
Yes.
I'm going to speechify.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
My formative talking years were on Long Island, right? So at one point we're in Virginia Beach and I go out with a couple friends of mine and we all go to this big restaurant. I come back home and my parents say, hey, how was it? What did you have to eat? I walk in, I run out. I'm like, so excited. I go, I had a hot dog. My dad looks at me and goes, no, you didn't. And you never, ever will as long as you're living in this house. I have no idea what a dog is, but no. You had a hot dog, whatever you want to call it. But it's not never in this house will you call it a dag. I don't know what that is.
Were you from Boston or something there?
I have no idea why I said it that way, but it was a story that's been repeated to me multiple times.
So speaking of birthdays, which is what our show is about today, did you guys have a lot of birthday parties growing up? I did not. I can think of two.
I shared my birthday party with my cousin. I'm the oldest out of all the grandkids on my mother's side of the family. My cousin is 11 days younger than I am. So same month, just 11 days apart. So we would always get together like in between his birthday and mine. And that's the family would celebrate our birthdays together. So I always shared my parties. Well, we shared a party. I wouldn't mind. It was ours together. And, you know, we just did country stuff, I guess you could say. We went and played in the creek and, you know, played yard games. And we had the, ginger ale and lime sherbet mixed together in the punch bowl because it's good. The cakes. And we always did it at my aunt's house, which was nice. You know, she didn't live too far. So I would say 15 minutes down the road, we just drive down there. But I mean, my cousin and I were very close growing up, you know, because obviously we were close in age. But during the summer, he would just pack a suitcase and basically live at our house during the summer.
I had cousins like that.
And so, I mean, it was really fantastic. And then our other cousin, the third oldest cousin, is like a year and a half younger than us. And he lived 10 minutes the other way from me. Like I was surrounded by my cousins, which was cool. So, you know, the birthday parties and stuff were really good because my grandmother had five kids. So between, you know, my three uncles and my aunt, you know, all the cousins, get together.
It's a packed house.
Oh, it was all, oh my God. Thanksgiving, Christmas, birthday parties, Jesus' birthday, America's birthday. It didn't matter. It's somebody's birthday, we're having a party. And it didn't have to be anything extravagant. It was more like a potluck. Everybody made something. Everybody
those
brought it.
Those are the best kinds of parties.
You know, and the lime sherbet with the
strawberry,
ginger ale.
With the, yeah, the punch.
In the punch bowl and homemade cake and homemade ice cream. And that was a party.
I probably had more birthday parties as an adult than I did as a child. I had one. We were still living in our house in Lindenville. I think just my cousins came. And both my aunts at that time worked for Fisher-Price. So I got Fisher-Price toys. You know, some of the trucks or something. I have all the Fisher-Price construction vehicles outside still.
Fisher-Price is like right...
It used to be in Medina.
Now it's in East Aurora, which is about an hour away.
Okay, yeah, because my wife was... They were looking for graphic designers, and she was contemplating it, so...
It's about now. It's an easy ride, but it's an hour away.
And then I think I had one when I was 12 or 13 when we lived here in Lockport, and basically it was... The same cousins, and I got to choose two of them to spend the night, and we spent the night. My basement was refinished. So I had been 12, because when I was 13, I moved into the basement as my bedroom. And my parents had cable then, and we watched Flubber.
Isn't that a Robin Williams movie?
Yes. It was a remake of an original.
It was a remake. We watched the original.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So, yeah, the Robin Williams movie came out after that year. So, how many birthday parties did I have? Where the heck were they?
I see them being a big deal for you.
No.
No?
No, they really weren't. I honestly only remember one birthday party. I want to say I turned 10 or 11 years old. I invited a whole bunch of friends, and most of them showed up. And we went to an indoor mini golf place. And I cannot tell you how many people got me gifts of micro machines. I had so many of them after that day. And then 6 months later for like Hanukkah and Christmas, everything else I wanted was gifted. And most of them are still in okay shape in a bin somewhere in my house. But that's truly the only birthday party I can remember. I would always get like cards from relatives. I remember one year I got cards from relatives I didn't even know existed. She sent me $10. I'm like, this is great. I don't know who this is.
I never got sent money for my birthday.
You know, I was always getting, you know, the card with the $25 check in it from, you know, my grandparent or something like that. And as I got older, the cards kept coming, but the check stopped. Like, you don't need the money anymore. I'm like, actually, the older you get, the more money you need. But okay. Most of the money, I think, went into a bank account. And then my mom and dad said, here, we're going to take certain amounts out and you can go to Toys R Us. May it rest in peace. So went to Toys R Us, got a couple different things there and here, whatever. Being me, the biggest birthday party, if you will, was probably my bar mitzvah reception, because I guess technically that's a big birthday party.
I was going to bring that up, and then I thought to myself, maybe we'll save the story of the bar mitzvah until the end of August.
We could do that, because it'll coincide with what goes on
with your son,
with my sons.
Maybe we'll do it right afterwards. That way, because I've never been to one.
Oh, yeah.
So that way I know what I'm talking about.
I take it to mean then that me might be showing up. So,
I got to send in my...
Your response card.
Yes.
Bobby, I'm sorry I didn't send you an invite, but...
No, it's fine. Like, I'll do some research on my own so I understand, like, what it is so I can actually talk episode, and I'm not, you know, sounding like a complete loon who has no idea what he's talking about.
Let's put it this way. My family and I were living in Virginia Beach through... the summer of 1993. At that point, my dad was working still in the reserves in a naval reserve unit in Albany, New York, because, you know, the Navy is so big in Albany, New York. Lots of ships up there, right? Anyway.
Well, going up and down the Hudson, it is tidal.
Well, yeah.
Watch out, there's a 6-inch wave coming at us. Brace for impact.
Look out, we got some traffic on Erie Canal. Please wait. Okay. But he went into the Navy in 1982.
Brownwater Navy.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So he went into the Navy in 82 after teaching for 8 years. So when he left the Navy, and I mean like active duty, reserves, all that, he went back into education as an administrator. So we went from Virginia Beach, city of, you know, however big Virginia Beach is, I'm too lazy to look it up right now, to Olean, which is 2 hours south of here, and at the time was a city of about 20,000. So big culture shock, big change. Took my mom like 2 years to get used to the fact that we were living
442,000.
That's how big Virginia Beach is?
Yeah.
32.
Bigger than Buffalo.
All I know is it had 32 elementary schools. That's
I went to basic training with a guy from there. I'm actually still friends with him. He retired out of the Army too.
I'm just saying, we're close in age. It might be somebody I knew, but whatever. The city's big, so whatever. Yeah. I don't know. So by the time my bar mitzvah came around in 93, the end of August, one, I was the youngest person in my bar mitzvah class. So I did the most in terms of leading the service and chanting all the different portions that you read from the Torah. And two, we'd already sold our house, and 99.9% of the stuff that was in the apartment we were renting was already packed. So we were staying in a hotel for that entire weekend. Mm-hmm. The bar mitzvah was the Saturday morning of August 28th. We relaxed on the 29th. We hit the road on the 30th, and we made it to Olean on the 31st. Long ride up, right? But it was a heck of a party. I mean, the reception was, you know, crazy big. I want to say we had about 150 people there. A bunch of people showed up because my grandparents said they wanted them to show up. Well, my grandmother wanted a couple couples, and I'm not saying that to be funny. It was like two or three couples she wanted invited, and my grandfather and his wife wanted... They gave my mom a list of like 10 or 12 couples, and I think 8 or 9 of them showed up, only one of whom I'd ever previously met. And I am convinced that most of these people had never been to such a ceremony, and most of them were very well off. And I was opening envelopes from people I'd never met before and getting checks and looking like, I don't know who these people are, but they're very, very generous.
That's the difference. I don't have a big family like that. On my dad's side, my grandfather was the only son of my great-grandfather. Now, my great-grandmother had other kids. They were half-siblings then, and we know some of them, but there's not a lot of interaction between the families. And on my dad's mother's side, it was just her and her sister. So, and on my mom's side, my grandmother, while she wasn't the only child, she was the only one who had children. Now, on my mom's dad's side, he had 13 brothers and sisters, but my grandmother didn't like that side of the family, so there was little to no interaction with them at all.
I would love to do some major research, or give Craig, you know, just a little bit of a beginning here and have you do the research for me. My great grandfather was one of 21 siblings.
Holy cow.
And I guess there were a couple sets of twins, and I'm told,
I hope so.
Yeah, I was reading a book and I saw my last name, and I'm like, whoa, what the heck is this? And I called my grandmother up while she was still alive, and I said, Bubby, tell me what's going on here. She said, oh, yeah, Harry was cousin to Barney. And yeah, Barney was a part of that Chicago and, you know, all the Hollywood crew. They went out that way. I'm like, oh, so you're telling me we're related? Like, yeah. Yeah. So somewhere back like 3-4 generations ago, the Balabans who helped found Paramount and my family were close. So I don't know them. They don't know me. But I've seen, you know the actor Bob Balaban? You put him and my dad in the same room, and they look like they could be brothers. So
that's cool.
There is a very distinct resemblance. But no, after the bar mitzvah, I cannot tell you the next time after that my birthday was legitimately celebrated until probably I turned 16 when I got my license and started working. Nobody really cared about giving me a party or a cake. I got a permit and whatever. 18, no big deal. 21, I was in college for the summer, and some people took me out. And since then, there has not been a legitimate party or significant, and when I say significant, I mean more than just my family, a significant gathering since.
Prior, right around the time we had the kids, so 30, I think we had some people over for my birthday, just to the house, just some people who could walk over from around the corner. We sat down and had a couple of beers and joked around, and we did that for my birthday pretty much so every year till my 40th. And my 40th was a heck of a shindig, so much that I time traveled from Saturday to Monday. I skipped Sunday completely.
That's fantastic.
And now my birthday falls on the same weekend that the Scrooge musical falls. And for 5 years, my kids have been involved with that. So we go to that the same weekend as my birthday. What I'd like to do is somehow drop them off at home and then swing back out and have a couple drinks. So we normally do it, like, I think last year we did it after that show.
Yeah, you guys came to the DRI.
Yeah.
And we were in the back. And that was my first time there. And I was really impressed. I was like, this place is pretty sweet.
So I want to do that again. Like after the show, because the show doesn't last very long. It's not a hugely long show.
I took my daughter and one of her friends to the show this past winter, and they liked it. It helps that their band teacher is one of the people who organizes.
She's one of my favorite people.
Yeah, she's a great person.
Now, how about your kids? We'll start with Bobby here. Your kids have birthday. Well, that's how we met initially. A passing. Your kids. There was a birthday party for Morgan.
Yeah.
And they invited Josephine and
Cece
Corlise. And then I dropped them off, and I was not in a great mood.
Yeah, I remember you dropped them off, came through the fence.
Yep.
Dropped them off, and then you were like, their mom will be here shortly. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And then I remember your wife showing up.
And she's a lot more fun than I was then.
Yeah. You know, and everybody's sitting out on the gazebo talking. Kids are playing in the yard. They're, you know, eating cake, opening presents, and just, you know, having a good time at the house. And my best friend was there. And I remember he dropped the F-bomb. And he was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And there were, like, no kids around, you know. And then, you know, Wendy kind of cut him that eye and gave him the mm-hmm type look. You know, he was like, oh, crap, you know.
She doesn't care.
No, well, he didn't know that. And I think she was messing with him.
Probably,
you know?
Yeah.
So...
She's lived with me for 23 years, so yeah, she knows.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that's how we met, and that was Morgan's birthday party last year, and then I don't remember what we did for Morgan's birthday party this year. I think we just, oh, we went to an escape room this year.
Oh, I remember that.
And we took Cece with us, and they had a blast at the escape room, and then we just did Madison's birthday.
Uh-huh.
And that was doing the bouncy house thing at a particular business. And half of the bouncy houses that used to be in there are no longer in there. And the prices have gone up. And so I wasn't particularly happy about that. But she still had fun. And that's what really counts, you know. And she had fun with her friends. And we took JoJo with us. Cece was there, too, hanging out with Morgan, if I remember correctly. But so we, you know, sat there and ate some pizza and all this other stuff. And then... G-Man's birthday is a little bit harder because it's right in the middle of winter. So trying to get outside and do something when there's a foot and a half, you know, foot and a half snow on the ground, it's, you know, 15 degrees outside. Yeah.
It can be difficult.
It can be. So
your kids have kind of had regular birthday parties.
I wouldn't necessarily call them a party. It's more like, hey, we're going to bake you a cake. We're going to do presents and you can have a couple of friends at the house and hang out. Not like a... I wouldn't classify it as a party, although it's probably classified as such. But it's like a small gathering of friends, a couple of presents, and a homemade birthday cake. And then everybody's like, yay, sings happy birthday. And
I think that's perfect. I think that is perfect. Because, you know, like you, I've also got three kids. So with Alex, I don't know how it was with you guys, but the first birthday has to be some... huge thing. The first birthday with the first child.
By the time you get to child four, oh, it's their birthday?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I lost count back at, you know, week 15 or something like that, you know? But with Alex, we had, we were living in Ohio. So we came back this way. We're staying at my in-laws and we had everybody at their house. And when I say everybody, I mean my side of the family came up. Both sets of grandparents came up. My dad made it out. My mom made it out, I think. No, my aunt and uncle did not show up. But a whole lot, most of my family showed up. They drove or flew in for this party. For Tegan, when her first birthday came around, same thing. But at this point, we were actually in... No, it wasn't for Tegan. It was for Alex's fourth birthday. His fourth birthday. So, but we had just moved back to the area. We were just back in New York. And this time, everybody showed up. My aunt and uncle showed up. They drove up from Long Island. I mean, some of the older relatives came up and everybody got together. Since then, though, his parties have gotten much more reserved. But, you know, Craig's met my son on more than one occasion. My son is pretty reserved when it comes to stuff like that. My daughters, on the other hand, not so much. They've had friends come over. And at this point, the parties, I don't know about you guys, but whether you're hosting a party, if you're hosting a party, it's one thing. Like Bobby said, get some friends together, have a cake, open presents, great. But we all know, I would say probably more than one person, probably more than several people, who feel this need to one-up other people and have themed parties no matter what's going on.
We never had a themed party. We had the first birthday parties and fifth birthday parties. And they may have had some friends over for their birthdays, but no big parties.
There's so many, but it's like this contest now where, and I'm not, don't get me wrong, every party I've been to like this, I would say by and large, they're very successful, they're very enjoyable, and the kids seem to have a blast.
What I don't like about new parties, and you're going to know exactly where I'm going here, why, if you're already providing cake and stuff, do you have to provide a gift bag for the people who come to these parties now? Like, my kids come home with gifts from birthday parties. It's supposed to be about the other person, not about you. Why are you getting birthday gifts at a birthday party?
You know, and Amanda's guilty of that. Like, she's like, okay, let's get something small for all the other kids. And I'm like, it's not their birthday.
Exactly.
And she's like, but they shouldn't go home empty-handed.
They had cake. They're all sugared up. They played games.
Yeah. I mean, so they get stuff like, you know, cool-looking, like, pencils with designs and some, like,
a little goodie bag with some little trinkets in it. I can understand that, and like, I'm okay with that.
It's trinket stuff, you know, and I'm like, okay, at least I can, you know, get it relegated to trinkets. But, you know, you're talking about like a $20 gift for each kid that shows up. It's like here you go. I gave you $20 to show up to my kid's birthday
party. It's like a bribery.
It is. It's almost like saying that your kid has no friends and you have to pay other children money to get them to come to your kid's party, which is pretty crappy.
It's all part of that every kid gets a trophy thing, I think.
Actually, I think it is too.
Honestly, remind me to come back to that. My brother and I, we were helping my dad move some boxes to the basement of his house on Sunday morning. And one of the things we had to move downstairs was an old science project that my dad did when he was in 6th, 7th grade. I'll forget going back to it. We were talking participation trophies. Like, Dad, I have seen this project since I can remember growing up in the house. I saw it in Virginia Beach. I saw it in Olean. I've seen it in... I've never seen it operate. I have no idea what it does. Did you even get first place? He says, no. I go, what did you get? Where did you place with this? Oh, I got an honorable mention. My brother goes, oh, so you got mentioned. It's nice knowing that participation trophies existed in the 60s, too. Can we throw this away yet? He's like, no, bring it down to the basement. I'm like, oh, we were both smacking our heads.
Does he keep everything?
He's hoarded a lot of stuff. We were making fun of him for that. We're like, we're not taking all this down to the basement because I got news for you. My brother and I were saying the same thing using different words. And we said, look, these are things that we're not going to want. So we're not taking it down to your basement only to come up here, God willing, a long time from now, just so we could take it out of your basement and burn it. So either get rid of it now or get rid of it later, but go through it before you have us take it. So we left a lot of stuff up in his garage, and some stuff that he needed we brought down to the basement. But yeah, the participation thing with the paying, the whatever, people getting trinkets are okay. It's like the stuff you get on the, you know, the dollar racks at like Walmart or Target come Christmas time for stocking stuff or stuff.
Yeah,
type stuff.
Yeah, almost. But going back to theme parties, I think it was this year we did a themed birthday party for my oldest because she was turning 13. So she's a huge Minecraft fan.
I remember this.
Yeah, we did the Minecraft thing. My wife made a Minecraft cake because my wife likes to do stuff like that. And then we bought a few Minecraft decorations and whatnot. And we pretty much decorated the dining room. And that was it. So there's like no Minecraft bouncy houses out in my backyard. There weren't decorations throughout the house. It was literally contained to the dining room.
I wish I had realized this and I knew you better because I would have come up dressed as an Enderman and just started jumping on things.
Oh, you would have fit right in. The kids would have literally taken their Minecraft swords and been trying to kill you because they have the little the foamy Minecraft swords.
That's one thing I haven't explored is my son plays Minecraft. My daughter's done some of it. I haven't.
Really?
No,
I'm surprised. It's like Legos for TV. I know Bobby doesn't really like it.
I'm not into it. I'm not against it at all.
No, I'm not either.
But it's just not a game that I play.
I love Legos when I was a kid. So
who doesn't love Legos?
I like Lincoln Logs.
I love Lincoln Logs, too.
Like real Lincoln Logs.
I had a huge bin of Lincoln Logs. And do you remember Bristle Blocks? I had those, too.
No, I didn't have Bristle Blocks. But, I knew them. I knew my barber had them as a toy when you were waiting for your dad or mom to finish.
Constructs. I had those, too.
Oh, yeah.
And then Kinects before they got really
flimsy.
I had the stronger version of Kinects that would build with Legos.
I had an Erector set.
There you go.
It had the motor and everything, so the car would actually go across the floor.
Dude, I
got that at a birthday party, so it must have been my 12th birthday.
Did you ever use it to try to retrieve a baseball from a huge dog?
I did not.
I was going to say, you and I are right there on the same thing. I was trying to get that in there, and he beat me.
I'm sorry. Hey, whatever. It was said. And we both knew what we were talking about. No, when it comes to themed parties, though, you're saying you just decorated your dining room and you didn't have bounce houses or anything like that. I honestly think if you want to have a theme, go for it, but less is more.
And it really was. And, you know, the kids all got like little Minecraft type gizmos to take home with them.
Yeah.
Nothing expensive. And it was all done off like the 50-cent dollar rack, you know, I think it was at Target. And I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody went overboard with decorations. It wasn't like somebody, an Enderman, puked on my house and now all of a sudden it's, you know, turned into Minecraft or anything. But it was good. The kids enjoyed it. the adults were able to sit out on the gazebo and, you know, talk and enjoy themselves too, which is always a nice part of a party when the kids, there's enough.
Absolutely.
There's enough for the kids to do to entertain themselves. And it really wasn't, oh, we've got all these games and stuff to do. It was, there's Minecraft on the TV. There's, you know, cornhole in the backyard. You can play some soccer. You can throw the baseball. Kids are just hanging out. It was a good time
play.
For them.
Go play.
Now, that's poor Josephine has the worst because she's got a December 30th birthday.
Oy.
People are tired of Christmas by then, and they're gearing up for the next night, which is New Year's Eve. So nobody wants to. And first of all, how do you get invitations to people? Because you haven't been in school for 2 weeks.
Right.
So she wants to celebrate her half birthday. It's 4 days before Independence Day.
Her half birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, the 6 month mark.
Yeah.
Jeez, that sucks.
Yeah.
See, G-Man's on January the 6th, so he's just after the new year when everybody's like, okay, I've got these resolutions, I'm not going to eat cake, I've quit drinking.
But the cool thing about G-Man's is on once you get past the first 4 or 5 days of January, people are going, okay, what are we going to do now? Because
right.
January is a dreary month, so party's a good thing to do, and everything's on sale.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
But see, he hates it because he gets his Christmas presents, and then like a week and a half later, he gets his birthday presents. Now, Madison has it great because she's born on the 25th day of the 6th month of the year. So literally every 6 months, this child is getting presents. So all she has to do is, I'm like, okay. She's like, well, I didn't get this for my birthday. And I'm like, okay, first off, you know, you got plenty for your birthday, so don't start complaining. Second off, in exactly 6 months, Santa Claus will be making a trip to town, okay? So you need to start writing a letter to Santa, and we'll mail that up, and we'll see what happens.
That's another thing, too. We might be bad parents, I guess. We don't do a heck of a lot for birthdays, even as presents. We focus on Christmas is where everything comes.
I try to get each kid about 2 to 3 presents, nothing crazy, and I always try to put a price limit on everything. So you can get like one really big present, you can get a couple of small presents, but as long as it doesn't total up over a certain dollar amount, because I mean, it's your birthday, we're doing cake, you know, we'll take you out to dinner, mm-hmm. which is really what the kids like
to
do.
They get to choose their dinner here for their birthday dinner.
Yeah, kids do the same thing.
Because they have spring birthdays, except for Joe, what we've gotten for them, bicycles, because it's just getting warm enough to ride, and they've grown.
I just got Maddie a brand new one because her other one was too small, so that was her birthday present.
Yep, so that's, we've done bicycles twice for the twins, once for Corlise, and Josephine, poor Joe, gets the hand-me-downs.
You know, Maddie gets the same thing from her big sister, gets the hand-me-downs. Like, I can't get rid of Mo's old bike because eventually it'll be big enough for Maddie to ride. And so I'm like, get that child her own bike. She needs her own identity. I was the oldest kid, so I really didn't get hand-me-downs, but I got garage sale clothes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I mean,
I love garage sales. There's another episode right there.
So for me, I'm like, you know, you don't want to take what your big sister, your big brother wore, and then you wear it because that was their style and all that. And I understand that if it's your style, then okay, that's cool. But if you don't like the style of clothes, I mean, I understand if that's what parents can afford, then that's what parents can afford. And I got that because I've been in that situation. But, you know, hey, they always want their own style. They want their own identity, you know? And so that's kind of where I'm going with that is, you know.
Well, that falls in line, too, with the whole theme idea because, you know, my son really is very, he's very into history, very into books and history. And basically, that's the way he operates. That's the way he thinks. For 2 birthdays in a row, last year and the year before, he was talking to my wife and they decided they wanted to go to Mumford, you know, the Genesee Country Village. Now, I'm not sure you know where that is, but I know Craig does. It's almost an hour's drive away. And you're walking around and you're watching, you're basically walking through history. You get there and you start off at like the, I would say, settler time period. And you kind of work your way up to like the Eastman House, like in the 1800s. And then there's like a video and some other stuff and old school and old. He loves it. He goes through it and he must do it in order. Like Alex.
I got to tell you, it's not nearly as cool as it was when I was a kid. It's definitely, it's still a great place, but it's not aging as well as it could.
Right. So we did it 2 years ago. Fine. Great. No big deal. And when we got back to that house is when we had, I think 1 or 2 of his friends showed up and we had some cake, and that was that. Last year we did it. Two friends went with us, and it was just by the an hour into it, and I'm like, I'm ready to go home. We've already done this 1 year. I, you know, once was enough. I don't need to go back every year. And then for his 10th birthday, he had it at the Buffalo Science Center, and some people showed up. A couple friends from school came as well, and it was cool. It was fun. I don't remember what we did for 9. I don't remember what we did for 8. I just remember the fact that I had to drive 3 years in a row, 2 hours round trip. I'm like, this is really, you know, not what I had envisioned. My daughters, on the other hand, since Tegan's birthday is on the 22nd and Raina's is on the 17th, they have, the last 2 years, had joint parties, which, let's be honest, isn't the something that's going to last as long as I hope. This year, they had it at the bowling alley because we have a, well, up until recently, we've had a major connection to the bowling alley. And I know 1 year, a couple years ago, Tegan decided she wanted her party to be at the bowling alley, and my wife and her decided on a theme, Alice in Wonderland. Tegan loved Alice in Wonderland there during that particular time. So we, you know, we found her an Alice blue dress costume type of thing, decorated the bowling alley with cards and other things, and then went to the cookie place in Medina, and we asked the, you know, the main baker, hey, can you get some Alice in Wonderland themed cookies? And she didn't know what we meant. So we gave her a couple ideas, and then we opened up the box of cookies, and everyone was frosted, and every cookie said, eat me on it.
That, kudos, 2 points to the baker.
So, but she didn't know what she was putting down. I opened up the box, and I looked at the cookies, and I told my wife when I picked up the cookies, I'm like, yeah, I don't know if she understood what you were asking her to do, because, you know, she also, Celeste also went to the like the local grocery store and got some bulk candy that looked like the gummy bottles, and all of those were in little dishes with little labels that said drink me. I mean, my wife went all out and decorating, well, all out for her. I mean, it was still very understated, and we're talking about goodies for everybody. Target at that particular time was selling dollar books in their bargain bin when you first walk in, like to spot the deal. It was like a month before. I'm like, hey, we're having an Alice in Wonderland party, right? She goes, yeah. I go, Tegan's invited how many kids? I don't know. She invited like 15, 20 people. We wound up buying 15 copies of Alice in Wonderland for a dollar. And it was the severely abridged version. So everybody, rather than getting a bag of goodies, everybody got a book. I'm like, hey, this, I'm thinking to myself as a parent, if I'm a parent and I send my kid to a party and they come home with a book, I'm okay with that. I can live with that. It's nothing that's an offensive book either. It's one that opens up the imagination. So, but no, the cookies that said eat me just cracked me up. I'm like, that that's just something that got a little bit more cognizant of what you ask people to do. But no, generally speaking, though, most of the parties that we have, unless our kids specifically ask us to go somewhere, they're at the house. We just have a barbecue and have cake and whatever.
So did you celebrate your birthday out in the Adirondacks with your dad and brother?
A cake was brought in. I didn't have any of it because I don't. If I'm going to have a sugary cake, I'm going to have a sugary cake. I'm not going to have fruit in it. This cake was ruined by having strawberries in it, but whatever. a cake was brought in. It said, didn't say happy birthday, didn't say happy anniversary. It was a birthday cake that had my birthday year, 39, my cousin's birthday year of 34, my cousin's wife's birthday year of 31, my uncle's good friend's birthday year of 66, and my aunt and uncle's anniversary month of July of 36. So it was a big cake, and it was just kind of recognizing everybody. That really was the extent of the celebration that went on. And then yesterday, after we had Chinese food for dinner, I went out with my girls and picked out a cake. My son wasn't even home yesterday. He stayed at my in-laws most of the day.
So one of the things I want to do now to celebrate my half birthday, even though it's past it, is I want to go to the Texas Day Brazil with my good friend Bobby and his wife.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That is a carnivore's dream. But they do have a fantastic salad bar. We're not talking from Police Academy now, okay? But they do have a good salad bar there at Texas Day Brazil as well.
I've heard wonderful things about the salad bar. I will not eat from it. I know they'll try to make me, but I am not a salad person.
No, they have some really good sauces up there that you can, like they have a mint jelly for the lamb mm-hmm. to dip in that you have to get from the bar. They also have another, what was it? Because I was getting the lamb steak and I was dipping it in this other sauce that I got from the bar. But you think of it, it's on the salad bar, you know, lettuce,
my
tomatoes,
lovely
olives.
Wife
oh,
will
my
love that. It'll, it makes it easier to sell to tell her we're going to a steakhouse.
I'm telling you, there's a way to do it. You pregame, so you don't eat crap the whole day.
You do the Joey Chestnut pregame challenge?
You don't eat at all that day. And when you go there, you don't order beer, you don't order soda. You say, I'll take a glass of water.
You know what Joey Chestnut does? The 2 days before, he drinks a gallon of water at a time until his stomach gets totally extended. That's all he does. He doesn't eat anything for 2 days. And then when he passes it, he drinks another gallon. He does it like three times during the day for 2 days. That way he can eat all that food that, you know, because he's the...
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
But I mean...
So you could die from that. That's like water poisoning, you know?
You can flush too many electrolytes out of your body and actually end up doing some pretty good damage.
Damage, yeah.
Just the fact that competitive eating even exists a topic that we'll probably never get into because we don't do it.
Well, I felt like one at Texas Day Brazil because I kept raising my little flag and they were like, so you want this chicken? And I'm like, you bring me lamb steak. I paid $45 for this.
I want whatever's bacon wrapped.
I think the filet mignon is wrapped in bacon. And I think they have some chicken wrapped in bacon.
Yes, please.
But the lamb steak, oh my God.
I've had lamb twice before and I haven't really liked it. So I'll have to see how it is.
They'll cut you a nice little tiny piece. Got to be careful, though, because they actually do have knives. Like, they bring a knife around, like they're carrying sharp carving knives. And so
don't make your server angry.
Well, that no sudden movements, because I think my mom got nicked because she moved, and they actually had to give her a Band-Aid. So it wasn't anything crazy. And she was like, no, it was my fault. Like, I moved and I shouldn't have. And, you know, it was like, okay, you're fine, right? And they're like, yeah, like, no big deal. But it's nicely lit. They have a nice bar in the very front. So, but yeah, don't order beer. Don't order soda. Glass of water. Don't eat all day. Go and get like a tiny bit. Go get some of the sauces that you can, you know, dip some of the meat and stuff in. I don't eat the bread because bread's going to expand.
I don't eat the bread anyway.
Exactly. So you're good. And then there was something else. They give you these bananas that are fried and they have like the cinnamon stuff, you know, cinnamon sprinkled on it and something else. They're fantastic, but they're given to you as a palate cleanser. So what they want you to do is after you eat this, you know, let's say you have filet mignon, then you eat part of this, you know, fried banana, it cleanses the palate. It also fills you up because it's a banana. And then they want you to order more meat. What they're trying to do is keep you from getting your $45 in meat. I probably got about $70 in meat because I ate lamb and they were like, you want this? And I'm like, no, I want the lamb steak. And they're like, so you want the chicken? I said, lamb steak. So you want the filet mignon? Lamb steak. I paid $45 to get in here to eat all the damn meat I could. I am going to eat this meat. Bring me lamb. And so I'm like, just keep the guy doing a circle around the table. You know, like have him just circle the table. I ate lamb the whole time.
So obviously
you
can't eat the pork, but what about lamb?
Why not?
I don't know. Dietary restrictions.
It's not a pig. I don't know why I couldn't.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure how lamb was. It's not a normal, you know.
Well, Mary may have had one, but I doggone ate one. So I'm just telling you that was fantastic.
I ate the whole thing.
I probably did. And then I had a salad and a small salad afterwards.
That was
your
palate cleanser.
And then I had a couple of those bananas and I was just like, I can't move. I'm like, I felt like my grandfather. I wanted to go sit in a recliner and undo the top button of my pants and throw my leg over the arm and watch Tom and Jerry.
All right. Before we go here, two things we need to do. We need to decide what we want to talk about next week to see if what is on our list is what we're going to talk about, which is family vacations, going away for the summer on real family vacations.
I never really had any of those growing up, so.
We had a few. We've done more since we've been married and had kids. But Wendy and I did some together on our own before we had kids.
We have vacations, but not over the summer.
Doesn't have to be over the summer, just family vacations.
I still forgot to add the 80, you know, like the music we grew up listening to.
Oh, yeah, we
got to
add that on there, too.
The music now and, like, what our kids listen to.
We can finish that one up. That'll be our last one in July.
Okay.
Yeah. I make my kids listen to what I listen to.
Me too.
That's 80s on 8 right now on Sirius XM.
If I got my car stereo on, though, it's 97 rock. So.
All right. So one almost pop culturally thing that I want to talk about because it's made big news over the last 3 or 4 days, The Little Mermaid. People throwing a fit over Ariel. I don't see any issue.
Why? Why are they throwing a fit?
Because Ariel has been cast, and it is not a young, white, redheaded woman. It is a young woman of color.
Okay.
And I don't see the big deal.
What's wrong?
The best thing I saw about... Exactly. The best thing I saw about it is, how dare they not cast a real mermaid? Not my Ariel. It's like, for crying out loud. First of all, mermaids, to my knowledge, are fictional. Second of all, this is a fictional story. Third of all the women complaining, think, people, you might wind up getting lucky and having Idris Elba as King Triton. So are you going to complain?
Terry Crews.
That works too.
He's
either way.
Yeah.
I could see him getting ticked off, but either way, it's just like, people just get upset at the most ridiculous things.
I want to see the best actor or actress doing the best job they can in the role they're given. And if that, I can't remember, Halle, I want to say it's Barry, but it's
Halle,
not.
Halle, I want to say Bailey?
Yeah, Halle X Bailey, something like that.
Yeah,
I can't remember
her
name.
She's in a show that I don't watch because it's not geared towards somebody like me, but
if she's the best person, she can sing the song, she can do the acting, great for her. I think it's wonderful. I couldn't care less who's cast in this role.
Yeah, I don't really care either. Like, it makes no difference. You know, I'm still going to take my kids to go see it. They're still going to enjoy it just as much as if it was, you know, a young white lady playing the character versus a character of color. They're going to enjoy it just the same.
I agree with you, and we're talking, you want the best one, right? You've seen Creed. The kid who played Creed, Michael B. Jordan.
Yes.
All right? I think he's a great actor. Have you read... No, you've seen the movie Ready Player One.
Yes.
Have you read the book?
No.
So I'm going to guess by that answer that you have not read the author's second book, Armada.
No.
Now, Craig, you've read Armada.
I have.
Okay. Now, while reading Armada, once you've seen Ready Player One and you read Ready Player One, you start reading Armada like it's going to be a movie. And it is written like it can be adapted for a movie like that. As I was reading it, I was thinking, you know what? This can be turned into a movie. However, they're going to have to make some changes, like any adaptation from a book. So for those who have read Armada, great. For those who haven't, I'll sum it up like this. It is Independence Day meets War Games meets a mystery of sorts, okay? It's just those two meets The Last Starfighter. You combine those three, Independence Day, Last Starfighter, War Games. That's a lot of what it's like. But the hero is a high school senior in the Pacific Northwest, right? His name is Zach Lightman. I'm like, you could keep the same name, but making it a high schooler, the suspension of disbelief has kind of gone away. Make him a down on his luck department store employee. Make Michael B. Jordan the main character. Make his mother Halle Berry.
Yes, please.
I'd be okay with that because you can age the character up. I know it's going to be a story that's going to stretch the limits of your imagination, but don't make it stretch so far to the point where, oh, the only person we're going to rely on is some, you know, high school kid. So, I mean, who cares what somebody looks like as long as they get the job done? Of course, we say that, and there are times when we don't practice it ourselves, but for the most part, when it comes to Hollywood, just make the movie. Entertain us.
Exactly. Entertain us, because I want to be entertained when I watch a movie or a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care who you cast. I don't care about their personal views or any of that other crap. Just act, make the show, make the movie. I want to be entertained. If I'm entertained, I will continue to watch.
Point out
Hollywood has always pushed the boundaries right from the beginning when they started with the silent and then it went into the talkies. They were always pushing the boundaries. I wish they went back to that.
I think
I don't think they risk enough when they're making movies.
Actually, Hollywood has gotten so far to the point where it's scared. I guess they're going to like re-examine whether they include too much smoking in the next Stranger Things season or anything like that.
It doesn't really matter.
So, I mean
there's another thing, smoking.
That's another episode.
I've never even tried it.
Honestly, I think that we can turn a whole episode into that, like, you know, how the pendulum shifts from, you know, the silent films to the films of today and what they've gone through in the different eras. I mean, that would be one that might require some research, but it could be fun to talk about.
It could even be as, you know, what dads today, like dads like us and other dads, like what they interpret that film or that television show is telling them as far as like how they should parent and raise their children.
Right. Because like in the 80s, the dad was, you know,
the dad was the head of the household.
Right. And then Disney has gone and taken that to the complete opposite degree, and they've made parents buffoons
in most of their shows. Not all of them, but many of them.
And the 13-year-old runs the house.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that one, too. Maybe we'll do that one next week.
How about the shows that we just don't appreciate how they portray parents in general?
There was your kid.
Speaking of parenting.
Yep. And it's time
for
us
an insult. She just wanted to get her baby doll.
Right. And you have to go pick up your other kids. You have to be a dad here. The dad taxi service is going to be in service here fairly quickly.
Duber.
Yeah, Duber.
Duber. I like that. I like that.
Well, so for Howie and Bobby, I'm Craig. Thanks for listening to The Dads Must Be Crazy. And don't forget to check out our sponsor, Classical Ballet of Western New York, at classicalballetofwny.com. They have some summer camps starting this week. Check it out. Tell them the dad sent you. When you have kids, you often find yourself involved with lots of extracurricular activities. In my house, we go to dance. All four of my daughters have gone to Classical Ballet of Western New York. With two locations, Main Street in Clarence and Main Street in beautiful downtown Lockport, Classical Ballet of Western New York is a fun way for your children to learn the fine art of dance. This school provides an extensive ballet education for its students. Classical Ballet of Western New York is a cultural institution aiming to enhance the lives of the youths of the community. They strive to develop its students physically, intellectually, culturally, emotionally, and socially through the discipline of dance. Classes start in September with performances of the Nutcracker in December and a single recital for each studio in June. There are also summer workshops available. Call 631-1582 for more information, or visit them on the web at www.classicalballetofwny.com. Simply click the link at the bottom of our page and you'll be there without all that typing. Our family literally visits these studios 6 days a week, and we've made many new friends while sitting in the waiting room while our kids dance. So if there's a kid in your family who loves dance, from your 3 or 4 year old all the way through high school, boys or girls, check out Classical Ballet of Western New York at 58 Main Street in Lockport or 8180 Main Street in Clarence, and tell them the dad sent you. The Dads Must Be Crazy would like to thank Scott Leffler for putting together our awesome intro to the show. And thank you to Amanda Hodge, who helps us with our designs and logos. Intro and outro music provided by Incomtech.com. Our theme music is Retro Future Clean by Kevin McLeod, licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license.